Now, has children's sport become much too about competition rather than participation? And is the competitive focus actually driving kids away from taking part? Now, Coleman Nochter is a child and adolescent psychotherapist. He's been writing about this issue. I spoke to Coleman a little earlier on. I began by asking him how you get that balance right between wanting kids to participate, but also wanting them to improve and to be competitive.
Yeah, I was wondering about this myself, Shane. I wonder if it is about balance or is it about a menu of options? I mean, I think there are children who are ego-driven. So they want to win. They want to get medals. They want to get prizes. And those things are very important to them. And there's other children who are task-driven, who want to learn how to do a skill. They want to take part and they want to participate. And in my view, I think probably if you get to under 12 sports, it's, a lot of it is task-driven. But as soon as you get to kind of 11, 12, the competition element starts to creep in ever so much. And we start to kind of weed children out at that point to kind of, you know, A's, B's and C's teams. And it becomes a bit about kind of training twice a week in a match on a Saturday. And I'm not anti-competition. I'm not a kind of everyone should win a prize. And I don't want to sanitize sport. But there are children who do retire from sport because they don't have that level of commitment. And when I think about it, I think about me as an adult and I play five-a-side football and I play tag rugby and a text goes around and you say, you're in or you're out. If you can make it, great. If you can't, you won't. There's no option like that for teenagers. And I speak to them all the time and they say, if you're not able to do that huge commitment thing, then you can't take part. And there's no social side of sport for that age group. And again, I've just talked to three people in the last month who have given up sport because they're in exam years. And so these would be very sporty youngsters who would have, played at a fairly decent level, but parents' pressure or coaching pressure, whatever it has been, has meant, you know, I can't commit to that and do a leaving cert. And so those are the kids who have kind of been driven into gyms and doing things on their own time, which I think is probably the year that they need sport the most. So I think we have to have a look at what is available. And for me, the menu of options seems to be elitism and it seems to be competitive driven. And I don't know whether there's space for the children who want to just partake.
See, I hope there is. I actually think a lot depends on the sport. I grew up playing GA and soccer and I loved both. I actually think GA, I now coach GA. I think GA is better for that. I think they're much more inclusive. I mean, you hear of a lot of particularly soccer teams in Dublin who, you know, they cull players if they're not good enough. They're only really interested if you're a really strong player. I think one of the strengths of GAA is they have their A team, but they also have their B team, their C team, their D team. Like a lot of those C and D players go on to play all the way up to 18. A lot of them then go on and play at adult level for, you know, the junior team or the intermediate team. And I actually think it is a real strength of GAA underage.
But do you think that in some ways, Shane, that's losing its quality in the GAA? I always remember playing junior C and you'd be playing that and the lads having a cigarette at half time and it was all very relaxed and, you know, it was all very, like, junior C teams now have strength and conditioning coaches and, you know, and I know there are efforts to, in the GA with their credit, you know, the Gaelic for Mothers and they've kind of social hurling and things that are good. But from the point of view that culture is not without its competitive issue here. And only I've listened to you speak about this a lot, about where the hard man culture is very valued within that sport, you know. Yeah. And so if you're not willing to go in and plow a lad out of it, then you may not be appreciated within that culture either. And there's youngsters who enjoy sport, but they don't want to go out and mill someone out of it. And that can kind of cause them, even if they are playing on a C team or a D team, that's too serious. And that's, you know, not what they're getting into sport for. It's grand for the ego-driven kid who wants that level of competition and wants, you know, doesn't care whether they end up in an ambulance after this, but there are other youngsters who do. And it's maybe those ones are the ones that I'm maybe thinking about.
Okay. You've made me think about things. You've made me think about myself in terms of coaching. I mean, I've coached A teams, I've coached D teams. Are we as coaches? I mean, is it wrong to want your team to win and to push them to win, or how do you get that balance right? Because I think the girls I'm coaching at the moment, I think they want to win their games. Now, look, I God, you don't want to lambast anyone or make anyone feel bad for not winning. It is only a game, but how do you get that balance right between pushing them a little bit and bringing out that competitive streak, but also seeing the bigger picture as well?
You see, I think it's a clash of philosophies. You know, if you want people playing longer, you know, and participation is your aim, and your club, you know, is prized by, you know, the fact that they have, you know, 70 youngsters start in the academy under five, and 55 of them are still playing at minor level. That's an achievement. But you may not have medals and prizes and league cups, and, you know, you'll sacrifice the win for inclusion. And that's not going to suit everyone on the team, because half the team may want to win and half them might want to play. So it's about kind of having a different level of option. Of course, you have to have the competitive stream. We need elitism, and we need those children to be able to do that. But if I'm a kid who's going to who's playing under you, Shane, and say, for example, I'm not the strongest member of the team, and you set out your team to play, and you give me 10 minutes at the end of every match just because, you know, you don't want my parents giving out to you or whatever, you know, or that the match is won or the match is lost when I go on, that game time issue is going to cause me to say, I'm not going to go back to that anymore. Do you know what I mean? Because playing 10 minutes every fortnight isn't enough for me. And I think that's fair, you know. And if you ask kids, do you want to play, you know, 10 minutes every second week, or do you want to play 40 minutes a week and lose every game? I'm not so sure they'd prefer to play the 40 minutes or the hour and lose. Do you know what I mean? Some children just go there to play, you know?
Yeah.
And again, it's whether it's a coach-driven philosophy or whether it's a player-driven philosophy. And where we make the mistake is where the coach's ego takes over, and it's about what they want from it, you know?
Yeah, look, I hear you. And I mean, I think some coaches are worse than others. I'm not going to tell you where I am on the scale. I hope I'm not on that higher. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, there are some, I've seen unbelievable things on GAA and soccer pitches from different coaches who kind of think they're Pep Guardiola and stuff. And it is embarrassing. And I think we all have to catch ourselves that we don't fall into that trap. But look, I mean, I'm looking at our training schedule for tomorrow night. We've 78 girls in our under 13 squad in our GAA in Gaelic football. That's a healthy thing. That wouldn't have been there 20 years ago, I don't think. So we must be doing something. I don't mean we in the FINA, but we in the GAA, we in the sports world must be doing something right in that regard.
We're doing huge things right in terms of introducing, making it as accessible for people to get to these things, to include it. You have to remember, when I started playing, it's not that long ago, the youngest team was under 11s, you know, whereas now we have academies from under five. We've got huge parts of the community, and sport saves lives. The reason I'm bringing this up is that I think activity and sport is hugely important for kids. But there are ones who love the competition side, and they flourish in this system. There's others who love activity, but maybe not so much the competition side, and certainly not the commitment side. And I just wonder, can we and could we cater for those? What I'd love to see, Shane, is
are you not doing so? Sorry, cut across you come. Are by having, you know, loads of different teams, are we not doing that? Are we not catering for everybody?
To a point we are. I think when we get to under 12s, under 13s, it starts to fall off. What age group is your 78 people?
Under 13.
Yeah. I mean, again, if you still have 78 at under 18s, you'll have done a fantastic job. But the next...
We realistically won't have that. I'd love if we did. I'd be surprised if we do. I think inevitably there'll be some drop. Our goal is to keep as many girls playing as possible.
And that's the philosophy that you need. And that should be more important than how many championships you win. But I've seen girls who've gone away from sport and come back to it. And when they've come back, they've gone maybe in at 17 or 18 years of age, even their 20s in college, and said, God, it's very serious. Do you know what I mean? These girls are competitive and they want to win. And maybe I just didn't want, maybe I wanted something a bit more social. What I'd love to see is rent an Astro 2 nights a week. And any junior cert student or leaving cert student, turn up. Tennies will give you 5 yellow bibs and 5 orange bibs and play. And then after an hour, shake hands, have a glass of Coke and whatever we do, and off you go home. And you can do that when you can dip in and do that, rather than signing up and registering and, you know, taking your birth cert and taking, you know, and all that sort of stuff, where it makes it a bit more complicated.
Well, see, Coleman, I kind of disagree with you on that, because I think if people want to do that, that's great. But I don't think they will organize it. And I think, you know, being part of a club and being part of a team, I think that that's really important. You know, I see it in younger players. They thrive on that. There's a bond in that. And I think that gives them, equips them really well for life.
But why couldn't there be a Na Fianna Festival of Football that runs every Thursday? Like, we have cool camps and we have summer camps that run in accordance to clubs. I've seen kids who love cool camps. They love the idea of it. You play different matches, you do that for the week, and it's fantastic. But they hate going to training and matches because it's a completely different atmosphere. It's what you're creating is not about inclusivity. It's not about participation. It's about, we have to win and you have to pick this.
But I don't think most GA clubs do that. I really don't. I think particularly if you're talking about the you know, people who are the boys and girls who are less strong, I don't think there is that drive. I think there is an acceptance that we want to get people playing, that we want to get kids playing and out there. And you see very few coaches roaring and shouting at people for making mistakes.
And look, it's very hard to have an exception rather than the rule, but we all saw those scenes at that under-15s match between Carnew and Kilcool. We can't say that that's the GAA taking things easy and relaxed.
No.
I mean, the GAA is better at inclusivity than other sport. I would say that in things. Like, I think perhaps soccer can be a little bit more mercenary and ruthless when it comes to cutting people from clubs and not having numbers and things like that. Rugby is not innocent of it either. You know, from that point of view, you know, we used to be the sport that anyone could play. I think you need to be very big, very strong to even survive in that now. But sport in general is getting more competitive, a bit more elitism. And I just think I would love to see a relaxed atmosphere or an option. And it's just an option. I'm not saying take away anything that's there already. I'm saying add in something for those junior cert and senior and leaving cert students whose parents might tell them you can't do football this year, but you want to be active and you want to have some sort of collegiality coming together. And it could be exactly what they need for that year.
Okay, Coleman knocked her there. I found the conversation with Coleman absolutely fascinating. And actually the chat we went on quite a bit longer. I could have talked to him for around an hour. Text coming through already on it, Ciara.
Yeah, John says, I think our kids are confused in sport. On one hand, we tell them to look at these role model athletes who gave everything to reach the top of their sport. And then we tell them to train hard to be like them. But then we tell them that winning doesn't matter, that it's all fun. Yeah, I can see the point there.
Mags has a great point here. I'm not academic. Sport was my thing. I remember in school when it was decided to give all participant medals, it irked me. Because I didn't get a medal for turning up for a maths exam. I felt something had been taken away from me that I was good at. Really interesting. Really interesting.
Yeah,
point.
Whereas I would have felt, as someone who's not good at sports, I would have felt that competition terrified me in sports and it put me off playing. But we'll have to take this off air, Shane, because we will. We keep discussing it, the two of us, all morning.